Well, for a few moments, let's just, the Bible says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. So many times we come to church or go to meetings and we listen to what the preacher says. And it's very important. What I have learned as I go to different meetings is that you can go to the same meeting. All of us can go to the same meeting, and we can come out and we can talk about the same meeting, and each one of us will have gotten a little something different out of that meeting. Why is that? Because we're listening to what the Spirit of God is saying. It's what the Spirit of God is saying behind the words that are being spoken. It's so important that we open up our spiritual ears. We're not trying to process what's being said through our mind and just intellectually. We want to make sure that we're hearing what the Spirit of God says. And so for the next little bit, while I'm sharing some things, I really want you to listen to what the Spirit of God has to say. I believe that you'll get insight for your life. You'll get understanding, maybe in some areas that you haven't had understanding before. I believe that as a result, some of you will be willing to step up here and just share what God's given you in Jesus' name. So let's look at Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. In Mark chapter 4, verse 3, and you'll actually have to look in your Bible tonight. Our screen decided to do its own thing. It's not listening to what the Spirit is saying, apparently. So in Mark chapter 4, verse 3, Jesus taught them different parables. And so he said this, "Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass that as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up, and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold," is what he's talking about here. And then verse 9, what I just said, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Now, when he was alone, they that were with him, with the 12, asked of him the parable. And this is what Jesus said, "Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God." So immediately he ties this parable to the kingdom of God, the mystery of the kingdom of God. "But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And then he said unto them, Do you not know or do you not understand this parable? How then will you know all parables?" So, in other words, this parable, this story, this illustration that Jesus is using, he said to his disciples, if you don't get this, you're not going to get the rest of it. Which means this one's pretty important. So if we're going to make an effort to understand anything that Jesus taught, then we need to make the effort to understand this one. Verse 14. The sower sows what? So the seed is the Word of God. Okay? Don't confuse that. The seed is the Word of God. Now, this is what we know about this seed, about this Word. The Bible calls it the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. So I want you to understand, number one, is that when you sow the Word, there's never a problem with the seed that is being sown. If something's not working right in your life, If you're not experiencing what you know you should be as a son of God, as a child of God, the problem is not the word of God. The problem's not on that side of it. It's the incorruptible seed. It can't be changed. It can't be manipulated. It can't be damaged in any way. So the sower sows the word. But what Jesus is about to illustrate is not the focus being on the word. He's about to start focusing on the different kinds of ground that the seed was sown into. And so we need to go through here and find out if we identify with any of this type of ground. See, it's very important that as I move through this, that as we move further into the things of God, as we hear His voice, as the Lord is, oh, hallelujah, as God begins to speak to you more and more, as you begin to hear His voice more and more, what you are hearing in your life on a daily basis is the Word of God. A lot of times we'll take the Word of God and we'll only limit it to just what's in these pages. But if the Word of God comes to you and says, don't go this way today, you need to take an alternate route to work. My question to you is, what kind of ground are you that word will come into? If the word of God comes to you and says, it's time for you to launch out into your own business, what kind of ground are you to obey that word? See, it's real easy just to apply this part to it. But what the Holy Spirit is saying is that we have got to hear His voice every day. And we must measure His word into our life every day. What kind of ground am I? Do you understand that when Jesus was speaking this, do you understand that the early church, when they talked about this, they did not have the New Testament. They were just hearing the word as they spoke it. They were hearing the word as Jesus spoke it. The sower sows the word. These are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their what? He takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Now we've just identified something else. The ground is the heart of man. So now we know that the seed is the word of God. The ground is my heart. Now, to properly understand this parable, you need to kind of look at the different versions of it. So hold your finger here and let's go to Matthew chapter 13. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then comes the wicked one and he catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. Again, that's Matthew chapter 13 and verse 19. So now we have some insight into how Satan operates and how he's able to take the seed away from something that's sown into somebody's heart. And it's simply this. You can sit here. I can preach real deep. I can talk about the deep things of God, but if you don't understand the words that I'm saying, if there's no understanding to you, then Satan has already made his move and you have allowed him to take away the seed that was being sown. So what that tells me is, number one, as a believer, as I'm listening to the word of God, as I'm listening to the voice of God, I need to get understanding to what I'm hearing. Because as I understand it, so will I keep it. But if I don't understand it, then Satan's immediately able to take that away and it will not have any benefit for my life. Again, you're going to keep your fingers here. Let's go back to Mark chapter 4. The Bible says that excuse me, wisdom is the principal thing, and with all you're getting, get understanding. It's so important. Glory. And these are they. How about some, do you have some water here? These are they, excuse me, which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, what they've done is they immediately receive it with gladness. And so these people understand what they have heard. But it goes on to say, I mean, you know, you hear a great message. You receive it. Hallelujah. God wants you to be healed. Glory to God. You receive the good news of the Word of God. You receive the good news that's being preached. You receive the good news that all of your needs can be supplied according to His riches and glory. You receive the good news of peace that God has given unto us. You receive that. And then it goes on to say that they receive it with gladness. They have no root in themselves. And so they endure, but for a time. Afterwards, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. How does that apply to us? Well, when you hear the word, you have to make a decision that word is forever, that you're going to obey it forever, that regardless of what other people say, let me tell you something. When it comes to the things of God, when it comes to receiving your inheritance, when it comes to receiving the grace of God in your life, you have to make a decision that regardless of what other preachers are saying, regardless of what other Christians are saying, and I'm telling you some right now, some of the worst persecution happens in the church. As you begin to learn to be free from legalism, free from religion, free from just bad doctrine that seeks to confine you, and as you start telling people, man, God's grace, He's favored me, and it's not based on what I do. And then you start talking about how you're the son and the daughter of God. And you know, yeah, you made a mistake last week, but guess what? God still loves me. God still forgives me. And He's not holding that over my head. You know, I can still receive healing from Him. I can still receive benefits. Oh man, the religious devils, they're going to rise up and they're going to say, that's not right. And they're going to start persecuting you for that word that you've received. I was talking to somebody today. And they're going to have lunch with somebody tomorrow that has tried to warn them, you need to stay away from grace preachers. They are so far off, you got to stay away. Why would you want to stay away from something that takes you out of bondage and gives you freedom? Glory to God. I have more faith today towards what God wants to do in my life and what He has already done for me because of a revelation of grace than before whenever I felt like that I have to perform to get God to do something for me. I'm more free today. I believe God more today. I walk with Him more today. Why? I got a revelation of His love. Once you get a revelation of how much God loves you, once you get a revelation of how much He's done for you and how much He wants to continue to do for you, you can tell me anything you want to. You can persecute me. You can do whatever. You can't take it away. I will not go back. Because if God be for me, who can be against me? And so I've got foundation. I'm digging my roots deep into the Word of God, deep into the grace of God, deep into the faith of God. Glory to God. I won't be moved. I won't be moved. But if you're somebody that has a tendency to go with the crowd, that's not Miss Juanita, I can tell you that much right now. If you're somebody that has a tendency to keep quiet about your Jesus, to keep quiet about your Father, There was a time in my life that I kept quiet. Oh, man. I mean, I knew the word. But what I did is, particularly like in our homeschool group, most of the homeschool group comes from the other doctrine. Comes from denominational doctrine, that legalism. You know, you have to perform. The more you do, then that's when God is obligated to do for you, instead of the fact that God has already done it for you and you just need to receive by grace. And so along with that comes along with that comes kind of a diminishing or not even an acknowledgement that the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit can be active and operating in your life. See, once you get over into legalism, then you no longer need the Holy Spirit to empower you to do anything, because you're still trying to do it through your own self-effort. And so what we did is we just wouldn't talk about the Holy Ghost. I wouldn't, because I didn't want to offend my fellow homeschool families. I wanted to be nice and loving. So my warped sense of love was not telling them the gospel that could free them. Hello? Why not? Why not? No more. See, last year before, anytime anybody sits down with me and says, so what's going on with the Matchins? I said, man, let me tell you something. All of my kids just got baptized in the Holy Ghost. Amen. They're all speaking in tongues. They're walking in the power of God. What's going on in our church is we've had more people baptized in the Holy Ghost in the last year than we've ever had in the history of this ministry. It's been awesome what's going on. We've seen more healings. I get excited anytime anybody asks me. Just the other day at the football game, you know, I mean, people's like, what's going on? And I said, let me tell you what God's doing in our church. Man, we've had people that's been healed of back problems, shoulder problems. This has all just happened in the last 6 months. Let me give testimony to what God is doing. God is filling people with the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. And they're like, that's great. They don't know what to tell. I can't contain how good my God is. And if you're going to get offended because I'm telling you what you need to hear, then the problem's on you. It's not on me. It's time that the body of Christ rise up and stop being afraid to speak the truth. Hallelujah. So they have no root in themselves, verse 17. So when they endure for a time, afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Are you one that can be easily offended? I'm determined. Well, what if I didn't expect the persecution to come? I don't care. I'm determined. What if I made a mistake along the way? I don't care. I'm determined. I'm not going to give up, cave in, or quit, because the Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, that if I won't faint when I'm weary, if I won't give up, if I won't cave in, if I won't quit, I shall reap in due season. Endure. Endure. Let patience have its perfect work. Verse 18, these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. I need to camp here for just a few minutes. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4, to keep, to guard your heart with all diligence. Let's turn over there and look at it. Hold your finger there because we're coming back. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them, what? The words in the midst of your heart. What's the heart? It's the ground by which the word is going to grow. For they are life unto those that find them. What's life? The word. When God speaks a word to you, it's to produce life in your situation. Every time you allow that to be sown into your heart, you're sowing life into your situations. You're sowing life into your lives. Not only that, but it says that they are health to all their flesh. The word of God is the greatest prescription that you can take for sickness. But yet we want to go to the doctor first. Find out what the doctor has to say about it. What are we doing when we do that? When we make the doctor the priority in our life without going to God first and seeing what God has to say about it, we're saying that we're giving more credence to what the doctor says than we do to what the Word of God says. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to go to the doctor, not at all. But I'm saying, where is God in the equation in your life? For they are life unto those that find them. They are health to all their flesh. Verse 23. Keep your heart with all diligence. The Amplified reads it this way. Keep and guard your heart with all vigilance and above all that you guard. Wow. You know, as a father, as a husband, what's important to me is to guard my family. I want to make sure that they're safe. I want to make sure that they're taken care of. I will do whatever it takes to make sure that my family, that my children, that my wife is well protected and safe. Do I show that same diligence to my own heart? How important is my heart when it comes to the things of God, when it comes to the life? Because it says this, the reason that we are to guard it with all diligence is out of it are the issues of life. The Amplified says, out of it flows the springs of life. The springs of life. Let's go back to Mark chapter 4. Your heart's the ground. So I need to be guarding what's going on in my heart. In other words, I need to make sure that the right kind of seed is being sown, number one. Now, the problem here with verse 19 is he says that the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, they entered in. They entered in where? They entered into your heart. See, he compares them to thorns. What happened was is that the seed was sown among some other kind of seed. And so this other kind of seed, it all grew up together, and because there was more seed of the thorns, more seed from the world, it grew up and it choked out the word, and the word had no room to grow in that ground. Don't think that you can just live life the way that everybody else lives it. And you listen to the same radio programs, and you listen and you watch the same television shows, and you hang out with the same friends, and you do all of that, and you're hearing all the news, and you're hearing all the bad stuff, and you're hearing all about everything that, and the whole time, what's going on in your job, what's going on with your house, what's going on with your family, what's going on with your friends, and the whole time, you're just sowing all of the seed into your life, and then you come to church on Sunday morning and get a little bit of word and say, man, that seed's going to be good enough to put me over for the rest of the week. You got a lot of seed that's growing up, and you wonder why the word is being choked out. Pastor, you're preaching pretty hard today. Okay, I'm preaching pretty hard today. But we're living in a day that it's time to put up or shut up, people. You know, there's plenty of churches around town that'll give you an easy sermon to listen to. Make sure that nobody gets offended at them. You know, make sure that, you come away pumped up, feeling good. You have a positive self-motivation message. Glory to God. But how does that really help you once you leave the doors of the church? God's called us to live as children of the kingdom. God's called us to live out of the kingdom. He said, what I'm telling you is the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven and how to operate in the kingdom of heaven. And what I've got to do is I got to make sure on a daily basis, glory to God, Father, I give you praise right now. Man, the voice of God, the word of God, it means everything to me. The voice of God, the word of God, it is all I live for, to obey him. Jesus said, I only do what my Father tells me to do. I only do what I see my Father do. In other words, and I only say what I hear my Father say. He was so in tune with the Spirit of God and listening to the voice of his Father, he didn't want to deviate from any of that in any place. It was most important in his life. Finally, the disciples got a hold of it. You know, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, they couldn't stay awake. They couldn't pray. Jesus said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But you know, after they got filled with the Holy Ghost, they got a hold of it, and they started saying, you know what? We've got to give ourselves more to prayer and ministry of the word. I can't let these other things distract me from the word of God. My question to you is, what's distracting you from the word of God today? What's distracting you from hearing the voice of God today? What's most important in your life? The cares of this world. So what are some kind of seeds that can come in? The cares of this world, the anxiety, the worry for your family, the worry for your spouse, the worry about your job, the worry about your friends, the worry about what people think about you on the job, all of that. If you, the worry about how you're going to pay your bills next week, the worry about what are you going to do next year, the worry about what job am I supposed to take, what's my next path in life. You allow yourself to think about that, to talk about that, to listen to that. And what happens is you're sowing seed in your life that's going to grow up and choke out the word of God. You have to get rid of care. You have to let it go. The stress alone will keep the word of God from operating in your life. The deceitfulness of riches. The deceitfulness of riches. There was a time in our society that nobody would work on Sunday. Can I just get real with you for a few minutes, please? There was a time that businesses wouldn't open on Sunday. They respected God. They respected what people would do. But do you know that today, businesses, they open on Sunday. For what reason? To make more money. What'd you say? What did you say? What'd you say?
Those Christians eat.
Yeah. Gotta make sure those Christians get to eat. But why is it? Why has that changed in our society? Well, first of all, why is a believer, if it's important that you not work on Sunday, if you won't work on Sunday, I mean, I'm not talking about legalism here.
Right.
That you can't work on Sunday.
Okay?
I'm just saying that there was a time that people had made that commitment in their life. That I want to take Sunday. And I mean, there's no scripture that says thou shalt not work on Sunday. But if you've made that commitment, if the Holy Spirit has convicted you and said, look, Sunday, set aside a day for the Lord. And you said Sunday's that day. Then if you're offered a job that makes money, but you have to work on Sunday, what's more important to you? Is it the deceitfulness of riches? Or are you going to believe what God has said and that he can supply your need outside of that job?
Yeah. All right.
See? Some people stop coming to church on Wednesday nights because of the deceitfulness of riches. People will take jobs. They won't put the word in because making the money is more important. They serve the almighty dollar more than they do the almighty God. What'd you say?
That dollar serves me.
That dollar serves you. Absolutely. See, we should be in a place that money is just simply a tool. See, that it doesn't have us. We have it. The deceitfulness of riches comes in. The lust of other things entering in chokes the word. Verse 20. These are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word. You understand the word. You receive the word. Now hold your finger there, and let's go to Luke's version of this. Luke chapter 8. Because you're going to see something here that's very important. Luke chapter 8. We're going to go back to verse 14. This is that which fell among thorns, that they heard, they go forth, they're choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life. Sounds a lot like skipping church to go to the lake and stuff. And brings no fruit to perfection. Oh, Pastor, you're just teaching legalism. No, I'm just saying what's most important in your life. I know families that because they did not put the word first place in their children's life, they showed them that it was okay to skip church so that they could go out and enjoy the pleasures of this life, that what they did not is they did not hold up the word of God as the standard by which they should live. And so what happened is, as a result of that lifestyle, what the children saw is that the word of God is not the most important thing, that playing on Sunday is the most important thing. And so as they grew up, what did they do as they became adults? They took it to an extreme and they stopped going to church altogether. I can tell you family after family after family. Why? Because the mama and the daddy did not put the word of God first place in their house and in their children's lives so that they saw it. Children are more affected by what they see their parents do than they are by what they hear their parents say. Why will a child who's raised up and sees his father be an alcoholic, and his father the whole time says, son, don't do like me, don't become an alcoholic, how come that son then ends up being the same alcoholic when he knows the destruction that it creates? Because he is more affected by his father's lifestyle and the seed that was sown from that than he is his father saying, don't do as I do, do as I say. Hallelujah. But it says here, but they that are on good ground, verse 15, are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, what do? They keep it. They keep it. The Amplified says this, that they hold it fast in a just and worthy heart and steadily bring forth fruit with patience. They do what that word says. Now, let me share this one thing and then I want to bring this to a close. I was meditating on this today. And the Lord just brought this illustration, brought this thing to me. And so, in the name of Jesus, I'll say this exactly the way that it needs to be said. This is why the Word of God and the voice of God is so important. Sometimes, what we want is that as we hear the voice of God and as we listen to the word of God, now we want to sit here and we would like, as a result of our being obedient, we want to sit here and then allow God to begin to shower us with blessings. You know, I would like for people just to start doing things for me. And so I would expect Jennifer and people and, you know, all of a sudden to do things, you know, as a result of that. That would be nice. I would like to check my bank balance tomorrow morning and see that the bank deposited $10,000 into my bank account. Can I get a witness? And look, it is possible for God to do those things. It is. But sometimes we believe God and we want things to happen that way because it does not require us to do anything except just pray and believe. Jesus had an opportunity in his ministry, late in his ministry, where he needed something. God had already provided it. He needed, in accordance with the scripture, to ride into Jerusalem on a donkey. He also needed an upper room where to have the Last Supper. Now, what would have been really nice, because Jesus is our model and Jesus is our example, what would have been really nice is for somebody to have come up to Jesus and said, "I just feel impressed by the Lord to give you this brand new donkey." And that's the way that we want it to happen in our lives. "I just feel impressed to, you know, I want to partner with your ministry, Jesus. And so as a result, I have provided an upper room for you to do with whatever you want." And that's the way that we kind of see the Word of God and the way that God provides for us to happen. That it's just people just going to come up to us, just start doing things for us. And as we said, wouldn't that be nice? And guess what? God can do things that way. He can. But if you look at the life of Jesus, what you see is that he was aware of the Father's will and he did what the Father said. And so when it was time for him to get the thing that God had already arranged it. God had already provided it. And so what he did, because the voice of God said, "The donkey is over here," he told the disciples, he said, "You're going to see this happen. You follow that person into the town. You'll see the donkey tied to a tree. Go to the person that hasn't said the master has need of it." Because God had already provided. Now what if the disciples said, "Are you crazy? A brand new donkey with a sticker on it, and you want me just to ask them to give it to me because the master wants it?" They had to hear the voice of God. They had to obey what God told them to do. They had to receive it with gladness. And by stepping out and obeying it, it positioned them to receive something that God had already provided for them. I'm telling you, whatever miracle you need in your life, whatever you need to happen in your job, whatever you need to happen in your finances, I'm telling you, the voice of God is out there telling you what you need to do. It's already been provided. Your healing's already been provided. Everything that you need in life, the Bible says God has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. It's just time for us to get up out of our chair and to rise up and say, "God, is this what you're saying to me? I'm going to step out." And you know, I used to, glory to God. I used to, when I would see people in different places, my attitude was, if God wants me to meet them, they will come to me. Listen, I'm telling you some things that's going to help you practically right now. And as I'm telling you these things, I believe that you're getting insight. I wanted, you know, if I saw the mayor of Birmingham or somebody like that, I would want them to come up to me and introduce themselves to me, because it's really uncomfortable for me to make the effort to go to them, because who am I anyway? I'm just, you know, in his eyes. And what I learned is that the Bible says if you want friends, you got to do something. You got to show yourself friendly. If you want connections, you got to be the kind of person that'll make connections. You can't wait for people to come to you. That's not the gospel. The gospel is go ye. And so now, because I got a hold of this, and I used to be very introverted, and I would not make that effort to make a connection, because what are they going to think of me anyway? And I was more concerned about that. Now what I do is I look at those opportunities. I look at those situations as, this may be an opportunity for connection, that I'll make the connection. And maybe it won't mean anything right now, but down the road, God may use that connection for something. But if I don't allow a connection to be made, then I've missed a possibility for God to use that person in my life. So we went to lunch on Sunday. Somebody invited us out to lunch. Went to a cafeteria downtown. We're sitting there. Guess who walks in and sits down? The mayor of Birmingham. Mayor of Birmingham. He did. Sat at the table right next to us with his family and stuff like that. I wasn't sitting there thinking, man, I wish he comes to me. I wish he'd turn around and say hi to me. I'm like, hallelujah, here's an opportunity for me to meet the mayor of Birmingham. Glory to God. Now, some people may not like the mayor of Birmingham. Guess what? Some people didn't like the governor of Israel and all of that back then. But, you know, you never know why what the connection is going to do. You never know what the favor that God's going to give you is going to do for you. So you know what I did? As we got up, went over to the mayor. I said, hey, mayor. He said, hey there. He said, I'm William Bell. I said, I'm Mark Matchin. I pastor Life of Faith Church. And talked to him for a few minutes. I remembered that he was at David Germany's wedding, which is Hazel's. Hazel's not here tonight. Hazel's son, which we were at. I said, you were at David Germany's wedding, right? Oh, yeah, I was. I said, I was there too. Hazel goes to my church, you know, and David grew up in this church. And he goes, oh, he's a fine young man. Now I've made a connection. Yeah. Started talking to him about things. I said, Jennifer, come over here. Mayor, this is my wife, Jennifer. And he introduced us to his wife.
Come on.
Okay. Now, it was pleasant. It was nice. He said, you know what? Call my office. Maybe I'll come to your church sometime. Maybe he will. Maybe he won't. Maybe the Lord will have me have him. Maybe the Lord won't. It's not the issue. The issue is I am through sitting down and just waiting for things to happen to me. I want to hear the voice of God, and I'm going to stand up, and I'm going to obey what God says. I'm going to step out. I'm going to make connections. I'm going to allow God to use people in my life. I'm going to allow favor to come my way, and I'm not afraid what people are going to think. I'm going to show myself friendly. And as a result of it, I look for an opportunity to meet new people. It's an adventure in my life. I get to see something about somebody else. Well, what if they don't want to meet me? After they get through meeting me, they'll be glad that they did.
That's right.
I'm through letting the care, the worry about what they think, enter into my life. I'm through being so controlled by the deceitfulness of riches and going after those things that the word isn't important in my life. I'm through making things the priority that keeps me from putting the word first place in my life. I got to guard my heart. I want the word to grow up in my life 30, 60, 100 fold. Man, I want to experience. I want to experience that. Hallelujah. Glory. Derek, would you play for a moment, please? Thank you, Jesus. Now, this is what measure you measure, it shall be measured back to you. The first thing that we're going to do is this. Stand with me for a moment, please. The first thing we're going to do is this. Let me ask you this. Did you understand the word that was spoken to you tonight? Then Satan can't take it away from you. You have to understand it. Now, you have to make a decision. Are you going to obey the word? Are you going to receive it with gladness? Do you receive the word? Sure, it was kind of tough. you know? But did you receive the word tonight with gladness? Will you receive that? Because it's designed to change your life. Will you have the root that you need to make that decision, to make that commitment? So, before we do anything else, let's take this word and allow for just a moment, as we pray, just allow for just a moment, the Holy Spirit, just to deal with you, show you things, show you areas. Maybe you haven't put Him first place. Maybe His word hasn't been the most important thing. Maybe it is being sown among thorns, and there's other things that keep going in, and you wonder why you see no fruit in your life. And what it is, it's not because you haven't sown the word, it's because you're sowing a bunch of other stuff. And you're allowing care, and you're allowing the almighty dollar, and you're allowing other things to be sown into your life. Right now, in the name of Jesus, make the decision to receive the word, to guard your heart with all diligence, to allow the word to have its, to be the only thing to get root in your life. Father, right now, Holy Spirit, move through the hearts of the people. Sora bakata si brokto si brakere bokote si brande si klemenge. De kota shingra mande. Ke brokto so brakte si kroto shingra mande. Se groto so brakte e kroto single menge de shikla bakata si ke. Yeah, by the Spirit of the Lord, what is happening here is that there is a pruning process going on. The Bible says in John chapter 15 that those that He loves, He prunes. You know, He just helps you identify areas that, you know, that you can correct in your life, see, so that you will bear more fruit. You will bear more fruit. All of this is just a process to help you bear more fruit, to get rid of the sin that does so easily beset you. To do the things that's necessary to have His life and His fullness operating in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, does anybody have anything to share and to add to what the Spirit of the Lord had me share tonight? Ms. Thelma?
Pastor Mark was reading from Mark chapter 4, and he said, "Let the Spirit of the Lord speak to you." And this is what the Spirit of the Lord said to me. In Mark chapter 4, it says, "There went out a sower to sow." You're the sower, and what are you sowing? Say you're sowing the word, the healing in your body.
Hold on for just a second. I don't think this is...
Testing 1, 2. We're good.
Okay. Here, just kind of put it up there and we'll see what's up.
Okay, you are the sower. And what are you sowing? Suppose you're sowing words of healing for your body. Verse 4 says, "And it came to pass as you sowed, the pains in your body came and ate up the words of healing that you had sowed." Don't let the pain, the fever that's present, steal the word that has been sown.
That's good.
I had a few weeks ago, I just knew I needed some help. I had gone back to the doctor, and my husband was in the examination room with us, and the doctor said, "Have you been having shortness of breath?" I said, "No." He said, "Well, you should have." Well, I shouldn't have, because I've been given the breath of life. When Pastor laid hands on me, well, I don't know if he even laid hands on me, but the power of God just knocked, I just went out. And my husband and my son was getting me up off the floor. But the Spirit of the Lord says, turn over and get up. And that's what I did. Because any other time, I knew I couldn't do anything like that. So it had to be the power of God. Roll over and get up. And when I got up, I've been breathing ever since.
Praise God.
I had in the name of Jesus, and I just thank God. Don't let the pain, the fever, come and devour the words that you have sown.
Praise God. It's a good word. Good word. Hallelujah. That's good. Praise God.
I hope I can get this out the way I have it in my heart. The sower sows the word. And you're the sower. It ain't the preacher up here. You're the sower. And like Pastor said, you know, like the cares, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things, that's sowing words. You know, it tells you in Galatians that God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If he sows to the flesh, that's what this fellow's doing. Deceitfulness of riches. Thinking you don't have something and you need it. You see, God's already said he's gave you everything. And if you start walking in that, you'll find out you do have everything, and stuff will get added unto you and you don't have to chase it. I'm telling you from experience. If you have ears to hear. It says if you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap life. Now see, the people that sowed to the Spirit here, you see the things they got. Let your word, see, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word is incorruptible. Anything you say, it's incorruptible. Because it's the Word. Nothing that was not made by the Word of God. Everything that was made by the Word. But see, you're a child of God. Even if you ain't a child of God, you're made in an image and likeness of Him. And if you say the wrong things out there, you ain't going to get it good. You know, your course of nature is steered by your tongue, it tells you in James. Everything's going to keep coming back to the tongue. When Pastor Mark started teaching on that a couple of weeks ago, believe those things that you sayeth shall come to pass. See, then it says, therefore. I mean, you start believing all that. That therefore says, okay, now, this is what you get. Every time you pray, you get it right then. You don't have to wait. Look, you don't have to wait for it. But you got to sow the right words. Don't sow thorns. Don't sow stony ground. Don't sow all that stuff. Just sow positive.
Amen. We'll talk about that. Keats, come here for just a moment, please. You know what the Lord, I'm just sitting here and the Lord just said about you. You're doing exactly what He wants you to do right now. Exactly. You're not doing any more, and you're not doing any less. You're doing exactly what He wants you to do. So don't worry about it. Don't worry about what's the next step. Don't worry about what's it going to look like. Just know that you're doing exactly what He wants you to do right now. And as you hear His voice, you'll always be doing exactly what He wants you to do. Okay? So, has the Lord put anything on your heart tonight?
I mean, just what Karis, Andrew and the teachers at Karis Bible College in Birmingham, I mean, where I've been going, I mean, Andrew was, I thought you were Andrew tonight just because that was one of the first lessons, you know. Yeah. Well, because it was like, it was just repetition and of what we were, what we had heard. And I was like, because there was a student that had said, repetition is the key to getting the word affirmed in your heart. And so I guess that was just a confirmation. And yeah, well, and just what you prophesied, been so worried lately because, you know, I have this, you know, I trust, but I still have that doubt. But I mean, praise God that I know.
So this is something that you've been dealing with.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, praise God. So God had, you know, and that's, you know, that's kind of what he did to me last week. Somebody spoke a word to me, and what it did is it didn't change my course. It just gave me the strength and the confirmation to know that I'm doing exactly what he wants me to do. And so that's all that he's doing. He's confirming. He's strengthening you so that doubt leaves, okay? And then just that word that you gave, that repetition, you continue to sow the word of God. You continue to water the word of God with the word. You continue to put that in, you know, so that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. It's a good word. Amen. Love you, brother. Amen. Hallelujah. Does anybody else have anything else? Glory to God. Does anybody else have
I might. Just in hearing that, it God just took me to a few places. One, Romans 3:4, that I guess the word I'm hearing is that we have to know the voice of the liar and the voice of the truth. And Romans 3:4 says, I just went blank.
Spell out the spirit.
Let God's word be true, yes. And let man be a liar.
Come on.
And in that, we have everything around us 24/7 coming at our minds and telling us that, you know, something's wrong with your heart. Or if we get an ache and a pain, you know, we have all these doubts coming at us constantly. And that's how the enemy attacks us. And Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart or believes in his heart, so is he. And we just have to continue believing that. Just repetition, bathing in the word. We wash our bodies every day. Why not sit and bathe in the word of God? And it's just the enemy just constantly attacks our minds, trying to take that word from us. And it says, you know, 2 Corinthians 10. 10:3-5 about how that's the warfare that we have of our minds, that he constantly comes at our thoughts, and we need to take those thoughts, take those lies, those strongholds, yeah, those imaginations, hold them up and say, okay, this is what the doctor says, but this is what the word of God says, yeah, which is true and which is a liar. And that's, it says, right, Romans 3:4. So
amen. Amen. Take every thought to the captivity and bring it to obedience to Jesus Christ. You make those thoughts bow their knee to what Jesus says. Don't enthrone them in your mind. Don't give them place. Don't you bow your knee to the word that is contrary to what the word of God says. I'll have more to say about that later. Father, we thank you. Father, we take this word seriously. Receive it into our lives, Father, that it may establish us as your children, sons and daughters of the Most High God. Father, we give you praise. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Come on, give them a praise offering. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, just hug on one another. Bless one another. You are dismissed in Jesus' name.